The Table 40 podcast with Matt and Leslie Holiday is presented by Sports Spectrum and the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more shows and stories on the intersection of sports and faith, check out sportsspectrum.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Table 40. Matt and Leslie here today, and today we have a special guest. We actually have, this is like the first, I think, in-person show that we've done. And today's special guest is one of our favorites. He just finished his senior season on our Oklahoma State baseball team. His name is Max Hewitt, and Max is from Midhurst, Ontario, Canada. Max played 1 year at junior college and then transferred to Oklahoma State. He's been at Oklahoma State for 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years. So he got his fifth year with COVID and came back. It was our starting catcher most of the season. Played some second base and some shortstop when he wasn't catching. Was an integral part of our team. Has been a huge part of our Bible study. And Max just recently found out. We'll kind of break that story in a little bit.
But, yeah.
So we want to welcome Max to the podcast. And Max, thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me.
So let's go back to the beginning. Midhurst, Ontario, Canada. Tell us a little bit about the Hewitt family and how sports and how you ended up playing hockey, that you ended up playing baseball. I mean, although I guess the Blue Jays are in Ontario, so.
Yeah, man. I mean, we did it all at home. Both my dad and my uncle both played everything they could growing up, and sports was a big part of their life, and my mom was a figure skater. And all my aunts played, one of my aunts played basketball, and then a couple of the other of them were more into music and stuff, but sports was a huge part of our family. No professional athletes, but I was just kind of born in a family that loved sports, and they introduced them to me early just to, you know, learn the life lessons that sports teaches you, and that was why we did it in the first place, but yeah.
That's awesome. We think that's good parenting, right? I mean, get your kids involved in sports young, and maybe sports can teach them some lessons that we can't.
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah. I mean, I don't know how well they're doing.
Let's have them play everything.
So let's go back to baseball and how you, like, were you always pretty good? How did the baseball, the love of baseball happen? When did you feel like that you were going to go on to college to try to play baseball? Tell us a little bit about your baseball kind of history.
Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I started playing baseball, just T-ball, when I was a little kid, and I really liked it. And, there's a good little community of baseball players where I'm from. I mean, it's not like here, but there's a good community of baseball players, and I really liked it. And, I played hockey in the winter and played basketball for the school. A lot of the sports happen outside of the school system. And so I did that, and I have quite a story through baseball. I mean, it wasn't until late in high school when I realized that, like, well, I actually graduated high school and I had no offers to play. And the travel ball team I tried out for in my freshman year of high school, I didn't make. And so I really loved baseball. I knew I loved baseball from ninth grade, and I just liked to compete, and I loved the challenge of the game. I honestly didn't have an answer for why I liked it so much. I wasn't any good at it.
So were you just small? What was the skill? What was the kind of, why you make your team as a ninth grader?
I was really small. I mean, when I got into high school, I was maybe 5'4", 130. I couldn't throw the ball all the way to second base, so I wasn't very good at catcher, and that's the position I played. And so that didn't really help our team, and so I ended up going to another team and playing second base and learning how to play infield, and slowly it kind of grew. I got to the end of high school and knew I wanted to keep going, and they said, you know, my travel organization said, you come back for another year and you can take a gap year, you can do that, and maybe it'll be an option for you. And so I did that, and I ended up working at Foot Locker, and I ended up working in a special needs classroom.
Sweet.
And so that's what I did my freshman year of college. Like, just fresh graduated high school, kicking it at Foot Locker, wearing the referee suit, the whole thing.
Yes. And I forgot about the referee suits. That's amazing.
It was great. It was great. It was a lot of fun. I drove back and forth to Toronto and trained and just really dove into like, all right, what is it I have to do? And eventually I got a call from Bobby Foreman at Connor State College in Warner, Oklahoma. It's a one stoplight town. Everybody talked about where they were going to college, and I had, a friend committed to Vanderbilt and friends committed to big schools. I had friends committed to four-year schools, and Bobby Foreman called me, and he didn't have to say more than two words before I was like, sign me up, let's go. I love Foot Locker, but I was like, I'm out.
And so you had never seen Warner, Oklahoma, no idea what you're...
We actually had played, I was on that travel team, we actually went and played against Connor State, and it's none too fancy, but let me tell you that they have everything they need there to make development happen. And that's, I ended up going there the next fall, and I played more baseball that fall than I've probably played my entire life. And I lifted weights more than I lifted weights in my entire life. And I ate more food than I ate in my entire life. And I don't know what it was. I just turned a chapter or page and made a decision that I was going all in on baseball. And I had a plan and I worked that plan. And a year later, I found myself in a very different position than I was. And ended up getting to choose what school I wanted to go to, but it was incredible, man. I went from absolutely nobody to, like, I played, Perry Keith just has a formula for developing players that, there's so many that came before me. He's done this 1,000 times, guys just like me.
What would you say the most important part of that plan, or just what would you say that he does a good job of getting guys in 1 or 2 years to take a big jump?
One, we practice a lot, and he doesn't do anything too complicated. It's just a lot of fundamentals and then a lot of just doing the work. And he pushed us hard, but he really instilled, like, I'll never forget a day that, he came up to me and he's like, I believe in you, like, you're my guy and we're going with you and you're leader of this team. And he pushed us so hard all fall, so hard. Kids quit left and right. Like 75 dudes showed up to fall camp. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I might not even get to play.
There's like 6 guys at shortstop.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so more than that. And I'm like, this is a mess. I have no idea what I've got myself into. But I put my head down and I went to work and I picked some great friends. Amazing people. I talked to him every day, and we hit in a cage every night till we couldn't hit through each other BP. There's one cage there, and
the inside one that's super hot.
Yeah,
hot.
That's where we hung out, and like that's what there was to do in Warner. Like, it's not like, hey, do you want to go down the strip? It's like, hey, let's go hit. Like, and that was huge for me, and that's all I cared to do anyways. So that was it, man. There's no secret to it. It's work and it's buy-in, and he has a couple other tools. Like, he taught me a lot about, visualization and, breathing and just little things about competing. And another thing he had us do was read the book Heads Up Baseball by Ken Revisa. It's incredible. I think every young baseball player should read a lot of books, but that one in particular was huge. And strategies just to navigate the game, because your mind controls your performance. Like, your talent only does so much, and I really don't think I'm very talented at all. I think I know how to navigate a game.
That's so interesting, Max. I'm just loving listening to you talk. I have to tell you this. My kids, so since we moved back to Stillwater and we've been going to Oklahoma State games the last couple years, when Matt played professional baseball, there were a couple players that they would be interested in watching hit. They're running around doing whatever, and they're like, oh, Troy Tulowitzki's up, let's watch him. Or Nolan Arenado's up, let's watch him. And then you became the next person. Like, Max is up, Max is up. Because there was something about you that my boys were drawn to because of the things that you're talking about. They saw the work that you put in behind the scenes, and they saw how competitive you were and how you prepared. And Jackson and Ethan both just recognize that kind of behavior as something that they want to emulate, or they admired that about you. So they were always very interested when you would come up to bat. And so anyway, I thought I should share that with you because you're leaving soon. And so you need to know that Jackson and Ethan are really big fans of yours. But as you're talking, I just, like, why didn't you quit at the very beginning? I'm just amazed at your resilience and that, you know, you didn't even make the team your freshman year, and you couldn't throw the ball from catcher to second, and you ended up being a catcher at a big time university. And so what is it, and what would you say to young athletes that are going to bed tonight and they lay their head on the pillow and they're like, what should I do? Should I start a career at Foot Locker, or should I really pursue this game because I want to? And so, I mean, you did touch on it about the work ethic and stuff, but what was the motivation?
Well, one, I just really like the game, but there was a particular moment where I made this deal to myself where I was like, oh, it's on. And that was the moment. And I can actually, this is bar none one of the biggest moments of my life was walking into the office of, his name's Sean Travers. He's now the 16U coach of the Mississauga Tigers high performance program. They're actually just down here this week playing. And the team that he coached was a super elite team. I think 8 kids out of that program got drafted. Something crazy like that number. I mean, 2 of them are in the big leagues right now. And I was, like I said, just not very big. And he knew I loved to play, and I drove down from Toronto to train and practice all winter to play on this team. And he took me into his office, and he sat me down face to face, and he said, Max, I love you to death. You do everything good. You're too small. Your body can't handle this game right now, and you got to get better. And there was just a moment in my mind where I was like, huh, like, all right. And that was one of the moments of, like, it just lit a fire under my butt. I was devastated because it took, like, I don't know, I had a couple friends on that team. I had a lot of confidence being around those guys because they were so good. But he was just like, you know, you're not big enough. And I was like, oh man, like, it's on. And from that point forward, I was like, yeah, all right, let's go. And so that was a huge moment of my life. And I've had a couple others like it. But I ended up coming back to play in that program that he coaches. And he was a very integral part of my development. But that moment in particular was a huge moment for me. And, you know, I told him yesterday, I saw him. I said, you know, that was one of the biggest moments in my life. And thank you so much for that, because he could have taken my money and been like, all
yeah,
right.
And he told you how he evaluated the situation. And then you responded. That's incredible.
I'm also thankful my parents, I'm also thankful that my parents didn't go, like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, or,
ooh, good point.
You know, he didn't, my parents weren't like, yeah, that coach is, you know, got something against you. It wasn't like that. My parents were like, what are you going to do? And that was huge.
That sounds like hockey people to me.
Like, well, athletes. You
athletes,
mentioned your
yes.
parents are athletes,
yeah.
So they get it, like, challenge of.
Yeah.
Of sport.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's good. You're right, though. It is such a culture, and we see it a lot. We've been on the road with our kids doing baseball right now, too. And you do see that a lot, where your kid's criticized, and a response, a short-term, I think, response is, well, something's wrong with the coach, or they've messed you over, or whatever. But I think if a parent is going to play a long game with the kid and really care about your kid's development for the long haul, then I think that you have to, that I love how your parents responded to that. Like, well, what are you going to do about it? That's so good. I love that. Good.
All right. Let's get into your journey with your faith. And tell us a little bit about your walk with the Lord and how that transpired. Tell us your kind of your story of faith.
Yeah, so I grew up going to church, like was born and baptized. Mom took me to church every Sunday with, you know, my grandparents and my aunts, and it was great. And I got introduced to, you know, who Jesus is very early in my life. And around the time I turned like maybe 5 or 6, I got to the point where we're playing hockey every single weekend, including Sundays, and so I'm not going to church. And I believe in Jesus, but when you're 6 years old, you know, you haven't done anything in life, really. So you probably don't know Jesus. Maybe some do, 6 year olds. I didn't. I was chilling. I was trying to wheel and deal and score some goals. And so life kind of went on, and it was a passive part of my life. And went through all of high school and got to college, and you know, I had a great freshman year. I mean, I went to work, and everything panned out great for me in junior college. Like I said, I went from not a whole lot of options to I improved by 1,000%, and then I performed every day the best I've ever performed for 60 games straight. It was unbelievable. I have no idea how I did it. I felt like I was living out of body experience the way I hit. Like, I'd never done anything like that in my whole life before. And so the summer came along, and I went to play summer ball, and, you know, I started getting calls, and, you know, turns into like, I got 84 phone calls in like 3 days from big schools, and all of a sudden I get to pick where I want to go, and like all of a sudden, like, I get to thinking, like, man, I'm really something. I'm really something. Look at all these. I can go wherever I want. And so it was great. I was so happy. Reached my goal. I'm going to play Division I baseball. I was like, I don't know what I was expecting, like, out of high school, but I definitely wasn't expecting that. And so I get here, and I can't wait. I'm ready to work, have the same attitude as I had. I end up getting 4 hits my first fall here. And I came in here thinking I was going to win the Golden Spikes Award my sophomore year. I really did. And opening day came around, and my name wasn't on the starting lineup. And I was like, oh my goodness. How could he?
That coach.
Yeah, and I felt bad for myself, and so I'm like, all right, back to work. All right, you gotta tough this one out. You can grind through it. You've done it before, grind through it. Go to work, get some ABs, didn't get a lot of them. Get to summer ball, lot goes down, and I'm faced with this. Do I even want to play baseball anymore? Like, is this even worth it to me? And, like, my heart just hurt.
Is that when you were going to kill the coach?
I did. And you know what? I don't got a whole lot of regrets in my career, but I will say this. I didn't want to go into it too much, but I didn't feel bad about how I treated that man. You know? I will stick to it till the day I die. I mean, if he got hit in the mouth, he was getting hit in the mouth. I mean, that's just how we do it where I'm from, you know? And so, but honestly, like, I did what I did. I mean, he deserved it. I'm sorry. I mean, and so I go home. Like, I wasn't going to stay there because I was going to get arrested probably. And so I go home and I'm like, I don't even want to look at a baseball. Can't do it. Like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Chilling at home, talk to my dad. We have a heart to heart, you know, and we're faced with the same thing. All right, you've hit another wall. What, Max, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, if I tell you I quit, you're going to hit me in the mouth. So I guess I go back to school. And so I get back to school and I'm talking to, we're at the pool. I'm talking, seeing all my friends again. Hey man, what's up? Hey man, what's up? Did you punch your coach in the mouth? No, it was close. And, one of my teammates, Jacob Reuter, calls me and he goes, come to church tonight. The first Sunday we get back to school. I'm like, no. And he goes, I'll pick you up at 8. We're going to late night. A life church. All right, man, whatever. All right. And so I go with him. And like at that time, you guys had moved back to Stillwater and started this Bible study. He goes, going to Bible study, and then we're going to church. And then it became a routine, and like, I believed in Jesus. I just wasn't walking out my life of faith. Like, I just believed in Jesus, but I felt distant. And then Leslie is really adamant about, hey, I'm never gonna call on you guys. And I was just having one of those nights where I'm like, I got 3 exams on Monday. We just had 2 scrimmages over the weekend. I'm just like, ugh, Monday, it's coming. And I'm so tired. And I'm not very motivated. And Leslie goes, Max, what do you got for us? And like, at this moment in time, like, I was doing all right, but I was just so tired, and like, baseball just wasn't doing it for me, and it just hurt me so much because I love baseball. And like, nothing else in life was like, make me very happy. Like, there was no party I could go to that would, I'm like, yeah, that's a great time. Like, it just wasn't happening. I just wasn't having a whole lot of fun. And Leslie's like, what do you got? And I'm like, I'm just so tired. Like, and I just can't do this anymore. And like, in that moment, like, I was so embarrassed. I literally just started crying. I was like, at that moment, I just had to take all this anxiety and all this woe is me stuff about baseball and about life and about, I'd had some injuries and, you know, I had a grandparent pass away and I was really bitter about the way this coach treated me, and I thought he disrespected me, and I thought everybody in baseball was a bad person, and this just isn't going well, and why do I want to grind through this? And in that moment, I just took all of that and said, like, Jesus, just like, take this, and I'm moving on. I'm moving on tomorrow. Like, I'm done worrying about things of this world that I can't control. And I mean, I ended up getting baptized next week. It was one of the coolest days of my life. I had no idea everybody was going to show up. And from that point on, like, things got a lot brighter. And, you know, it's been a good road since. I mean, I still struggle with a lot of things, but, you know, I think you guys will like this story because, you know, your parents. But, like, somebody told me this beautiful story of, you know, this young couple just bought a new house. And, you know, this couple is painting the walls of their new house, and they have a 2-year-old, and he's got, like, they're trying to keep him busy, so he's got all his markers on the floor, right? And he's got a big pad, and he's drawing on the floor, like, on the paper. And, you know, his parents turn away for 4 seconds, you know, they're painting the walls, and all of a sudden, like, there's stick figures all over the walls, their brand new house that they just saved up for, you know, the first 5 years of their marriage to build. And, you know, the kid turns around and the kid's like, dad's killing me. Like, this, it's over for me. And he can't do anything about it. And there's this, like, beautiful moment where the dad just grabs, like, one of those Mr. Clean magic wipes. Shameless plug, Mr. Clean. Yeah. Anyways.
I'm going to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah, and just wipes it away. The 3-year-old couldn't do anything about it. He's just looking at his dad like, I'm so sorry, I just messed up your new house. And the dad just comes up behind him and just, like, you know, like, want to kill your kid a little bit, but, like, you just grab him and you're like, oh, it's okay. And he just wipes away the mess that he made. And, like, that's what Jesus did for us. And, like, that's what Jesus did for me in that moment. And so that's a little bit about, you know, my walk in faith. And, yeah, it's been a wild ride so far.
All right, so let's fast forward to where we're at today. So today, the season ends in June. The Major League Draft, your college career's over. You've expired your eligibility. The draft is this year's in July, which is stupid, but you have to wait a whole month basically to just figure out if you're going to get drafted or what's next. So you don't get drafted June 11th, 12th, 13th, right?
Something like that.
Okay. So, no, July. Sorry, July 11th, 12th, 13th. So you don't get drafted. So that's hard, right? So dealing with the emotions of not getting drafted and then the last few days of trying to figure out what's next. And so tell us a little bit about the last couple days leading up to what I'll let you share happened to today.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got some calls from some scouts and stuff, and based on the conversations I had, objectively, I was like, well, you know, got offered free agent deal last year, and COVID shortened season, came back. I did really good. Then I came back this year and, you know, I had a slow start, but, you know, from April on, I thought I was really good. Play every position on. Like, I'm trying to think about this objectively as a scout, not from, yeah, I pick me because I'm me.
So first, 1-1.
Yeah, 1-1. Like, let's go. Yeah, anyway, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, yeah, like, I think I did pretty good, and based on the conversation I'm having, like, somebody tells me, like, great money saver pick on day two, and I go, day two, let's go, like, yeah, it's on. Somebody else tells me that, and I'm like, I'm getting picked, I'm something, and, like, it's just a micro version of what's happened to me so many times in my life already.
Seen a pattern.
Yeah, and, you know, day three goes by, sitting there with one of my best friends. We're in a cage. Pick after pick after pick after pick. Just like torture. I couldn't look at my phone. I couldn't do it. And then somebody says, hey, somebody's trying to draft you late. I'm like, please, God. Please, like. Nothing. Not a phone call. Nothing. And then, you know, my advisor tells me, you know, we're all over free agent deal. Like, it's kind of like day one goes by, not a phone call, not a text, not a phone call from anybody. Day two goes by, not a phone call, not a text. I'm sweating now. I was like, worst case scenario, somebody's calling me on the first day. I mean, I'm great.
I didn't go 1-1. Yeah. Somebody's going to call soon.
Yeah. So, yeah, somebody's going to call. Nobody calls. And, like, the next couple days go by and nobody calls. And, you know, all of a sudden it's been, like, 5 or 6 days. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, this isn't going to happen. This isn't going to happen. And it's just, like, so funny how God's timing's always perfect, you know? And he took a moment to teach me a lesson, like, again, of humility and of how you need to appreciate what you're given. And that's exactly what happened. And so I was faced with some really real stuff of what's next for you and facing a lot of decisions. Do you want to go to indie ball? And do you want to give up? What are you going to do? And so this is this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm at the coffee shop with our pastor trying to answer the question, what are you going to do? You going to apply to grad school? You going to do some work study program? You going to go play? you gonna go drive to Zamboni? I don't know. I was like, I have no idea what I'm gonna do. And so I'm sitting there trying to figure out my whole life in 20 minutes. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna figure this out today. And I'm just gonna have to let go and let God. And so, you know, we've prayed over time. I know my family wanted it bad for me. My family was, we were all really disappointed because we all got to the point where, you know, 6 days go by or something like that. And you're like, well, let's face the music. Like, you did your best. And that's the other thing too. Is like, at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I've done everything I can do. Like,
no regrets.
Yeah, no regrets. There wasn't a day that went by that I threw away. There, not one. Not one. And if I threw in a bat away, like, it wasn't because I didn't care about it. You know, it's because I got myself out. Which, you know, college baseball players do that from time to time. Hopefully they don't more than they do. Feel like it. Anyways, yeah, so I'm like sitting
there.
So
back to today.
Back to today. Yeah, I'm sitting there and I go to the field and, you know, I make the decision, you know, I'm not giving up. You know, I'm ready to go wherever I have to go. I'm going to earn my spot. You know, wherever I have to go, I don't care if it's indie ball. I don't care if I have to go to Antarctica to play and pay to play baseball. Like, I'm going to play baseball. And so, I'm so thankful of, you know, family and friends are supportive of this too, and made that decision easy. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, let's go. It's on again. And so I walk upstairs and I'm like, Josh, Coach Holiday, you know, can I have some numbers of some, you know, indie ball teams that I'd like to go. I don't care what position I play at. Don't care if it pays at all or what, this where or when or how. Like, I want to go. And so he's like, yeah, I got you. Sends me his number. Send out the text. Phone turns off. Like, gosh, this week, man. Turn my phone back on. Start typing out texts. About to send the text. Josh walks in. Hey, don't send that text. You know, let me make these calls. You waited quite a long time. I think I'm going to make these calls because I don't know if they're going to have spots for you. I'll help you figure it out. Gosh, dang. I can't even go to any ball now. Like, is there any, like, 18 new teams? Like, dude, like, I don't know. And so I walk downstairs, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a workout in. Start writing my workout on the board, and as soon as that happens, Heath Holiday texts me. He recruited me to Oklahoma State and ended up getting a job with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he texts me, and I know him well, and he's always at the field, so I didn't think anything of it. He's like, hey, man, you're down at the field? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, I'll be up there in a bit. I'm like, okay, we'll see in a bit. So I'm sitting on the bench, and he comes in, and he's like, you've had a long week, haven't you? I was like, I can't even go to any ball, Heath. And he's like, don't worry about it. The Dodgers are going to sign you. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And, I mean, what an incredible day. And I'm so grateful for it. And I know nothing about where I'm going or what I'm doing or when I'm doing it or anything like that. But I'm just so grateful to have another day to do what I love to do, and just grateful for, you know, great leaders and great coaches and great friends in my life that all had a lot more to do with getting me to where I am than me, myself. And yeah, and now we're here.
Here we are. So this morning at the coffee shop, we saw Max. Tonight, it's a different face.
Yep, different story too. It's amazing. Like, how what God's doing behind the scenes in our lives, you know, and it's just an incredible thought to think, like, Like we did. We saw you this morning and both Matt and I were like, man, that stinks. There's nobody we know that loves baseball more than Max Hewitt. And it's sad that he isn't going to get to continue his career. And we were bummed for you. But then we were like, you know, when we got the news today that you're going, you know, be in the Dodgers organization, we were so fired up. And we just thought, man, it's so cool that God just does these things behind the scenes. And I have to believe that the Lord's like excited, just like, hold on, Max, hold on. Like, this is about to get great. Today's about to be great. And so I just have to believe that that's what God's doing up there as he writes our story.
It was amazing. And I'm glad it happened the way it did because I appreciate it. I mean, I love baseball, but just like even getting like waiting like that was an incredible lesson for me. And I don't know, man, just what a great day. Glory be to God. Like,
it's a dream come true.
All right. So at the end of the shows, we ask this question. So if you're at a table and you get to have a big meal with 6 or 7, 8 people, family's already there, so they don't really count. Who are you inviting, and what are you eating?
All right, well, one, we're eating poutine, because...
Oh, my gosh, we're eating what?
Poutine. You've never had poutine before?
I don't think so.
Your face! I've heard of it, but I've never had it.
I didn't expect that. Yeah, well, I didn't know you'd like that. I mean, you should have told me that. I could have learned how to make it. What is it?
Okay, so it's basically... I mean, you're not going to like it because it's very unhealthy.
That's okay. Every now and then.
Okay, so basically, it's a very Canadian thing.
I imagine. I've never heard of it here in America.
I haven't had it in a couple of years, so I got
to. You should have told me. I could have tried to make it for you. Go ahead.
So it's French fries with gravy, turkey gravy, brown gravy, whatever kind of gravy you want. Not white gravy, though.
Brown gravy, okay.
With cheese curds on it. And it's all hot.
So fried cheese curds? Is that fried?
No, they're not fried. They're just melting. They're just cascading over these beautifully Frenched fries.
Okay.
And then the brown gravy on top. You can put pulled pork on it. If you're in it, I could take some sweet pepper bacon, add to it, you know? Okay. I actually just thought of that right now.
Oh.
Shout out to Eskimo Joe's.
Another sponsor.
Oh, yeah. We should ask them.
And so... Yeah, it's just a beautifully delicious,
hard. So it's basically French fries with a bunch of stuff, yummy stuff on it.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
It's great.
So that's poutine. That's what we're having the entire meal, or is that a side dish?
I mean, I'd have to figure out what, you know, what the other people like. You know, I'm a people
pleaser. Okay, who's there? So maybe I can help you.
All right, so you gotta have the captain there. Like, you gotta have Derek Jeter.
Okay.
Like, you're having dinner, you're not inviting Derek Jeter?
No. You just invited him.
All right, so, and then over here, I mean, you got to be there. Matt Holliday, you got to be there.
B&G, got it, okay.
You know, Lance Berkman's at that table.
Yes, it's good choice.
Very good choice.
Because, good storyteller.
Yeah, if Lance Berkman's at the table, one, you're leaving the table knowing something you didn't know before. Two, probably with some questions and from some further conversations. Three, like, I mean, yeah, like you said, he's a great storyteller. He's just a really interesting dude.
He knows the Bible really well, too.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. I'm really glad that he came to Stillwater to visit you.
He came a couple times while you were here, right?
Yeah, those were a couple of my favorite days.
Yeah.
Any
Canadian heroes?
We gotta have the great one.
Oh, Wayne Gretzky? Okay.
You have to have Wayne Gretzky. I couldn't believe, like, it was like,
I told you I met him, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You did. That was an unbelievable story. And then Robin was telling me,
he's probably best friends with him.
Robin's like, oh yeah, I know Wayne Gretzky. And I was like, you know Wayne Gretzky? And Robin's like, yeah, I do. I mean, do you not think I'm cool too?
Yeah. Like every Canadian that we know is like Wayne Gretzky's, he's the man.
He is, man. Fair. He's the face.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the face of our country.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay. Any other outsiders? We got any other? I mean, that's a pretty good table. Right now, we're sitting pretty good. We're eating poutine, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great table for me. Mm-hmm. There's lots of people, but...
Next time you come back to town after this this season with the Dodgers. Leslie and I are going to make an attempt at poutine.
We'll have to research it. We have some Canadian
friends. I can make french fries and gravy and all those things that are on. I don't know
I
about that.
I feel like the gravy might be a little bit more complicated.
Nah, we can make
I it. Love you guys. Our man's Riley Metzger's got it figured out.
Oh, Riley.
He'll certainly figure it out.
Metzger can cook.
Yeah, if you give Metzger a vision of what it is, he's going to make the
Has
best
he made
version.
You poutine?
He is not, but he's made everything under the sun.
All right. Well, maybe we'll make you poutine when you come back to town.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one last question, even though that's usually the last question.
It's our show.
That's true. So, Max, when you reflect back on your time at Oklahoma State, and you know it's like time to turn the page because we've got something new on the horizon that you're going to be running to real soon, like what would you say have been like some of those things on your highlight reel? Like as far as, I mean, you bring up Metzger, that's what made me think of this question. It's like I think relationships and teammates have been something that has been real important to you, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, you know, when I first found out that I was going to have an opportunity to come here, I thought that my favorite memories were going to be like big wins against big teams or championships or, you know, a big play or a big season or a personal accomplishment, stuff to do with baseball. And it's been like none of those things. You know, we won a Big 12 championship and it was one of the coolest things we've ever done. And it was so cool to be a part of. And we got to go on a football field and like get our rings and stuff. And you know, the truth is like I put that ring on like one time my whole life. But like, I don't know, the best times I had at college and were just times that I spent with friends and like good friends that we had a lot of like fun times where we did dumb stuff like college kids do, like we really did, but we also had like a lot of hard conversations and grew together so much. Like I will never turn the page on Stillwater. Like these are my like this is my family. Like
yeah.
It truly is. Like I don't know if there's another place too, like even including junior college, like the people in Oklahoma are just so incredible. And I couldn't have done this by myself. Like, you know, my parents dropped me off and then, you know, another family came in and was like, Max, I know you don't know us well, but if you ever need anything, we got you. And I ended up, you know, I'm at junior college and on the weekends, I'm ending up at their house feeding their horses and I'm like, where am I? But these people make incredible food and like they're so nice to me for no reason. And like little do I know, like these are some of the most godly people I've ever met and they're leading me on my journey that I didn't know I'm on.
That's cool.
And so there's countless stories of families like that who've helped me, and that's what makes this experience so special for me. It has nothing to do with any highlight, it's the people and it's Jesus and the way he's moving in our world. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll never turn the book on this. This is going to be, I might never leave ever. I don't know. So
I'm sure that everybody would love to have you around.
We'll just have to bring poutine to Stillwater.
Yeah. Maybe start a restaurant. Canadian restaurant.
Thanks, Max.
Yeah, thanks, Max, for having us on. Well, there's going to be a big void in, or having us on, you coming on. It feels like, because we're all together, it feels like it's y'all's show. We're going to miss him in Bible study. Big void. I can't.
We have to find somebody else. With you and Gardy gone, we're going to have to. But if you guys come back in the, or if you come back in the off season,
guest speakers.
Gardy might be.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Max.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
Thank you for listening to Table 40 with Matt and Leslie Holiday, part of the Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories on sports intersecting with faith, visit sportsspectrum.com.